Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of series 5 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. Welcome again to the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you're a new listener, you will find over 100 episodes available at our website, which is thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. If you go to the website and you click on the podcast tab, you will see all of the podcast episodes going back all the way to 2020, which you can listen to, consume there. And that's where you'll get the best listening experience, regardless of which platform you're listening on now. On the website, we have links on our show notes. We have a full show note for each episode. And we also have links to our guests and any media that they reference in their interviews itself. Also on the website, you'll find links to our products and our services, our visual communication tools, our explainer videos, and our other internal communications products. So that's the best place to visit if you are new to the show or if you want to get the full podcast experience. Anyway, let's move into the topic for this episode's interview. With the explosion of applications and technology nowadays in our internal communications work, it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that actually one of the most fundamental forms of communication that are important to any organization or any individual is the ability to have a meaningful conversation. We take it for granted that we can all do this and that our leaders are effective at doing this as well. But actually, it's useful to sometimes dial back or get some useful input into what does actually make up a meaningful conversation. A conversation where we are engaged with each other, we are understanding each other's requirements from that conversation, and that we use questions and reasoning in order to be able to find a mutually acceptable solution. It's an art that is not a dying art, but it's something that has become more and more challenged, I think, in the world that we live in now, where we're using technology more and we're working more virtually and independently from each other. So we're going to be exploring meaningful conversations in this interview. And not only is it the content of the interview that I think you'll find inspiring, but also the interviewee. The interviewee has had an incredibly challenging life, but also has made an amazing sort of inroads into that with their exploits and their story. So I'm not going to spoil the story by giving too much away, but I think you'll find the content really useful, but I think you'll find the interviewee very inspirational as well, and an amazing story. And so anyway, let's have a listen to it now. My guest today is Kyle Coon. Kyle is a professional adventure athlete, speaker, author, and podcaster who is driven to help people to keep an eye on their vision and find success. As a 2020 Paralympian and a future 2024 Paralympian, Kyle has proudly represented Team USA, securing a bronze medal at the 2021 Paratriathlon World Championships and numerous podium finishes worldwide. Kyle's journey extends beyond the race course. As an author of Discovering a Life Without Limits, he shares his story to motivate others. He's had the privilege of speaking to organizations, for community groups, to Fortune 500 companies, imparting lessons from living a value-driven life, the importance of building a strong team and being resilient in day-to-day life. So hello to you, Kyle. I know it's a very early morning for you and you're in the peak of your training, ready for the Paralympics in Paris. Now, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Craig. I love early mornings. This is possibly my favorite time of the day. You know, bright, crisp 5 a.m. here in Colorado. So I'm loving it.
Wow.
Yeah, just an honor and a privilege to be on here chatting with you.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, and you've answered one of the next questions, which is you're in Colorado. So 5 a.m. in the morning. Is the sun up at the minute or is it still dark? I guess it's still dark, yeah?
I think sunrise is coming. So, but no, this is my normal wake-up time. As an athlete, you need to have those times of day where you can, you know, kind of have your moment of, you know, sit, relax. And you know, I found that the early mornings is my time. It's when I drink my coffee. I just kind of hang out, let things settle and, you know, kind of, it's times of the day when I can, I can do things like, podcast interviews or recording my own podcasts or doing some writing for my newsletters and all that kind of stuff. So once we hit about 7:30 in the morning, the grind begins, and it's basically train from like 7 a.m. until, about 5 p.m. And then it's time for bed. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we're recording this. When we had our original conversation a few weeks ago, you were a hopeful for the Paralympics, but now you're fully qualified, and you're going to be going off to Paris. Actually, I think when this interview goes out, that'll be in the rearview mirror. We'll have passed that, so people can look up your results, see how you did, and it's the triathlon that you're competing in at the Paralympics, Kyle. Yeah.
That is correct. Yep, I compete in triathlon. So it's we at the Paralympic level, we compete in sprint triathlon. So it's a 750-meter swim, a 20-kilometer bike, and a 5-kilometer run. And the entire race probably takes about for me, it probably takes anywhere from like 57 to 59 minutes. So it's a quick and dirty yeah. race. But it's a lot of effort has gone into preparing for this Paralympic Games. Over the last 3 years, a lot of injuries, a lot of setbacks, a lot of triumphs and all that. So a lot of ups and downs. But it's real honor to be representing Team USA for the second time in my Paralympic career. Went to Tokyo and now going to Paris.
Wonderful. Oh, very congratulations. So tell us a little bit about your backstory then. And obviously you're a Paralympian. So tell us a little bit maybe about your kind of story, what's led you to what you're doing now and the kind of what classification you're in for the Paralympics as well. Just tell us a little bit more about your background, please, Kyle.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually, I lost my sight when I was 6 years old due to a rare form of eye cancer called retinoblastoma. So I had my left eye removed when I was 5 years old, and my right eye just before I turned 7. And as you and your listeners can probably imagine, that's kind of hard for a 6-7 year old kid to deal with, going totally blind. I wasn't thinking at the time, hey, like how am I going to lead this amazing, productive life and be a contributing member of society. I was just kind of thinking, how am I going to play with my friends? And so I was very fortunate that I got connected with a gentleman named Eric Weinmayer, who eventually went on to become very famous. He became very famous for being the first totally blind person to climb the 7 summits, so the highest mountain on each continent, including Mount Everest. And so I met Eric, late 1990s, before he was starting to gain some recognition, but hadn't really become the worldwide phenomenon that he is today. I had never met an adult blind person before, and he just kind of sat me down and was like, "Hey, man, like just because you're blind doesn't mean you can't achieve some really cool things and live a really cool life. So I'm going to challenge you to, not let your blindness hold you back, essentially." And so he challenged me and encouraged me to give rock climbing a try. And so I went and dabbled in a little bit of rock climbing with my family. My sisters and I joined the competitive rock climbing team. We climbed competitively for several years. Once you get into an adventure, sport like rock climbing, that spins off into, just wanting to spend time in the outdoors, camping, hiking, doing outdoor rock climbing, downhill skiing, cycling, you name it, we tried it. and eventually, just fell in love with this pursuit of adventure and this adventure lifestyle. And got the opportunity to do some really cool hiking and climbing trips all around the world, in South America, in Africa, and then of course all over the United States. And I eventually so by the time I actually graduated from high school, I had already been a competitive rock climber. I'd already climbed a summit at Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. I'd hiked in the Andes Mountains of Peru. So I was already I already had a kind of a big, you know, big head by the time I was in college. And so then I roll through university. I graduated from university in just 3 years. And I got to the other side of university, and I was like, man, I am just, I'm hot stuff. And, I am clearly CEO material. So I'm just going to apply for every job that's CEO and above. You know, and here I am, like just this 21-year-old, you know, real, you know, now I can say that I'm just a 21-year-old nobody.
Yeah.
And, so, 6 months pass, you know, and I start climbing my way down the corporate ladder as I say, and
your expectations are dropping.
I figured out very quickly that, I actually had not really accomplished very much, at least from in the business world or anything like that. And
yeah,
you know, just being able to stand on a few stages and, you know, be on TV and all that didn't really qualify me for being a CEO or high level executive in some company. And eventually I looked up, and it was a year after university, and I was 25, 30 pounds overweight. I was really struggling mentally, physically, and I went and actually applied to be and of course I was just absolutely broke. No money in the bank, debt, and just I was like, oh man, what am I gonna do with my life? And so I went and applied to be a grocery store bag boy, and didn't get the job. And
reality check.
I was pretty much at rock bottom at that point.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know what, I gotta fix my life, do something. And so I decided to pick up the one thing that I had absolutely hated in my life, and that was running. Of all the sports that I had tried, I was like, I really just did not like running. Running was always a punishment in sports growing up. And so, but it was pretty much the only thing I could afford to do. So I started running, and the person that I found to guide me to run with happened to be a triathlete. And he basically peer pressured me into saying, running is dumb, you should do a triathlon. And so, I said, okay, why suck at one sport when I can suck at three? growing up in Florida, even though I live in Colorado now, I grew up in Florida. So I knew how not to drown, but didn't really know how to, proper freestyles, technique and all that. So learned all that in my 20s, and just worked at it for several years, just learning about the sport of triathlon, and climbed my way up the ladder, and started at the very beginning of my triathlon career. I was very, very slow, didn't really accomplish very much, and then just kept getting a little bit faster every year, and then looked up in 2018, and all of a sudden I was actually decently quick, and USA Triathlon came knocking on the door and said, hey, you seem to be actually worth investing in, so how would you like to come move to the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, and let's see if we can actually turn you into an athlete. So I said, where do I sign? And I've been here at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center based in Colorado Springs since the beginning of 2019, and as we said earlier, just been able to successfully make it to the Tokyo Paralympic Games, and now Paris, and so that's at least the
wonderful
that's my story in a very in a nutshell, at least from the athletic standpoint.
Yeah, so. No, a brilliant, amazing story, and very inspiring, and kind of very honest as well. Yeah, I think some kind of reality checks, as you say, along the way, but also some kind of real perseverance and determination, which I think is amazing, and always find stories like yours very interesting and inspiring. So thank you for sharing that. I think we better probably talk about something to do with what we're going to be getting into, which is this idea of meaningful conversations. So I mean, just springboarding off what you were saying there, Kyle, so that was a sort of journey to your Paralympics. You've not stopped there. your guests, you're doing kind of speaking events, you're also doing a bit of coaching. And tell us a little bit about how the work that you're doing alongside your professional athletics work is how did that come about, this work around meaningful conversations that we're going to kind of explore in a little bit more detail now?
Yeah, so the, you know, when we talk about, you know, meaningful conversations and all that, you know, I look at it as, look, in order to succeed in any mode of life, you know, anything, whether you know, it's in our personal lives, our sporting ambitions, our professional lives, or anything, there is this, we have to be good at conversation.
Yeah.
And like, we are human beings. We are, you know, we are built to communicate with one another.
Yeah.
And the more effective we can be in our conversations, you know, the better, you know, the better, whether it's be active listeners or, you know, better at influence and persuasion, anything along those lines, that is how we ultimately get to where we want to be in life.
Yeah.
We have these expressions like actions speak louder than words. Well, we need to use our words to springboard our actions and to communicate our actions as well. So like, yeah, the two really go hand in hand. And you know, for me in particular, look, my success that I've had in the athletic world, in the little bit of success that I've had in, you know, in business now, you know, since mm-hmm. you know, since my dark days,
yeah,
you know, has been largely through you know, the creation and fostering of relationships, and all those relationships and those opportunities that present themselves and all of that, it really starts with having meaningful, great conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Yeah, and you've kind of really gone into that pretty deeply, and you kind of studied that, and you've kind of done some accreditations, and you're obviously, you know, kind of versed in that now, and you're coaching people, you're supporting people. How do you use it? And we'll go on and talk about the framework in a minute, but how are you kind of working at the moment? Are you working with on a one-to-one basis? Are you coaching people? You're kind of supporting people with the tools that you use, yeah?
Yeah. So what I do is I'm actually what's called an Exactly What to Say certified guide.
Yeah.
And so Exactly What to Say actually started out as this little book that a gentleman from the UK wrote, just to because he was a sales professional, and his name's Phil M. Jones, and he saw this gap in the, you know, in people's conversational excellence, essentially.
Yeah.
And people that get ahead and people that succeed in life, they basically know exactly what to say, when to say it, and how best to make it count. And you know, he recognized that if we change our words, we can indeed change the world. And so he wrote Exactly What to Say, started training people around the world, and eventually he realized, I can't do all this on my own, so I got to bring people on. And so
yeah,
I'm very fortunate to be one of the people that, you know, Phil and I connected a few years ago, and you know, he brought me into the fold, and I'm now one of his Exactly What to Say certified guides. And so what we do as certified guides is we run Exactly What to Say certifications for, you know, for groups and, you know, teams of people. We do podcasts like, you know, like this one, where we talk about, you know, our four cornerstones of conversational excellence, some of the magic words that we use to, trigger responses from the unconscious brain. And we do a lot of like keynote presentations, and there is a little bit of one-on-one coaching. I do a lot more of the group stuff. I love being up in front of a room. I love being involved with people in a room. Spoken on, you know, a handful of stages in the past, and you know, being an athlete, there's a bit of an ego boost when you're performing in front of a group of people. But
yeah,
no, so uh, So what we do is you know, I go into companies, or you know, can run virtual or in person presentations on on these cornerstones of conversational excellence, and how to help people apply this high performance mindset that I have had in my athletic career and my athletic life to things like communication, like business, real estate, sales, anything along those lines. Because again, it's all about these fundamentals of it's all about just doing the basics to a high standard very consistently.
Very good. You mentioned the cornerstones there, and I think what would be good is maybe if we explore those four cornerstones in a little bit more detail. And I guess so, by cornerstones, what we're talking about here is, the kind of the metaphor of the cornerstone. It's the kind of, it's the foundational, it's the kind of, these are the kind of the guiding principles that run through your work. Is that correct?
Exactly. So we think about, cornerstones as like, this is our foundation. Like, when in doubt, you can always fall back to these. These are the basics. These are, everyone always says, the basics are remarkably sexy when we do it well. My triathlon coach, always preaches to us and tells us that, hey, look, the only difference between, an elite professional, Olympic or Paralympic triathlete and an age grouper is that the elites and, the Olympians and the Paralympians, they just do the basics a little bit better on a more consistent basis than everyone else. And it's the same idea with, the cornerstones of conversational excellence. It's just these, they're very basic, very simple principles. But if we keep falling back to them and, keep them forefront in our minds, we actually find that we open a lot more doors and we have a lot more success.
Yeah. It's the kind of marginal gains approach, isn't it?
Exactly.
So let's explore them and maybe we're not going to go into them all, and we haven't got time to go into the massive amounts of depth, but maybe just kind of get a flavor for them. So the first one, which is all around the kind of intentionality of the conversation, they're all worded in a very kind of easy to consume and kind of, non-technical way. So the first one is the worst time to think about a thing you're saying is the moment you're saying it. So kind of think that through. So it's like kind of don't kind of shoot from the hip. So do you want to say a little bit more about that one, Kyle?
So this is pretty self-explanatory, right? The worst time to think about the thing you're going to say is at the moment you're saying it. As an athlete, like if I just go into a race and it's like, I'm just gonna see what happens today, throw it to the wind, and sometimes that works, sometimes it's sometimes it's magical and it's something, but the reality is it doesn't set us up well for life and success. So if we can just bring just a little bit more intentionality, and think about just start thinking about, okay, what are the conversations that I could potentially have, later today. That if I just, put a little bit of thought into how I would like to open that conversation, what I would like to get out of that conversation, then, we go into it with a little bit more preparedness. And we can, come in and have a little bit more clarity coming out. Again, very, very simple and very self-explanatory. Like, if I just showed up to this podcast and, had no idea, and it was just like, I'm just gonna, wing it here. This would be a very bad episode. And you wouldn't post it, or, and it doesn't give a good representation of you. So like, me coming in and preparing, knowing the material that I speak about, you as the host, knowing exactly what questions you're going to ask, all this stuff, this is a we're having a very intentional conversation, and the two of us have prepared very much for this conversation. So if we just added just a little bit of intentionality to other parts of our conversation. So when I call my girlfriend later today, I know that one of the moments in that conversation that is very critical and very important is in the first 30 seconds of the conversation and finding out, how her day was going, how her day went and all that. So just knowing these little moments and having intentionality around our conversations and knowing that, we can't wing it all the time.
We have
to bring a little bit of intentionality.
Yeah. And I think that's really, I was thinking as you were saying that about the exact example you used there, which is, we've not scripted this conversation, and hopefully, that's apparent, but we have planned out what we were going to talk about, because again, I know from experience that if you're going to do a 30, 40 minute podcast, you can't just wing it, because you will spend a lot of time talking about stuff that, wasn't really what you were intending to talk about. And secondly, you won't really deliver any value. But I guess the flip side of that is it doesn't have to constrain spontaneity and, genuine conversation as well. So I think it's getting that sweet spot right, isn't it, between knowing what you're going to talk about, but also not being constrained by that, that plan to the point that, it's like you in a race. If one of your competitors decides to do something you weren't kind of planned for, you can't just say, well, hey, I'm just going to let him go, and because I plan to run a different pace or whatever. You've got to react to that. But that still doesn't mean that you kind of completely change your race plan or whatever.
Exactly. And honestly that really kind of leads us into the second cornerstone. Just because you're planning and giving forethought to things does not mean that it's scripted. If we knew the outcome of every single race or the result of every conversation, well then why would we have it?
Yeah.
So the second cornerstone is that we talk about is curiosity is the fuel for great conversations. Going back to the worst time to think about the thing you're going to say is in the moment you're saying it. So if we come in with just a little bit of intentionality preparing for that conversation, and then we go into a conversation, being curious, being curious about that conversation, and because the one thing that we really need to understand is that curiosity, we need context before we can start spewing content, if that makes sense, we need the context around things so that our advice, our expertise is valued. So, and the only way we can gain that context is by being curious for long enough.
And I guess it's about showing that genuine interest as well, isn't it? We probably all work with people who kind of you can see or you can get their feel for the fact that they're distracted, they're not kind of properly listening, or they're not genuinely wanting to engage with it. They're just kind of going through a bit of a process that they feel obliged to do, and that curiosity is a great way of showing that you're genuinely interested in the other person, and you're connecting with them. I guess it's essential for trust as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So, we do business with people that we know, like, and trust. And, of course we want people to like us, because that is an important part. But I think it was Dale Carnegie or someone that said something along the lines of, look, you're going to get more people genuinely interested in you and what you're, selling and talking about if you're genuinely interested in them.
Yeah.
So this curiosity piece is all about that. And when we're focused on the other party, being curious about, them and their life and their business and all of that, it opens up the door. And, we start to like the other person more. We start to trust them more, and we, you know, and if we're curious for long enough, we get to know them. So
yeah.
We hit all three of those, you know, those points of, look, we know, we like you, we trust
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We've built this rapport, and hey, now we can move on, and we can start making some magic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's move on to the third one then. So we've covered off worst time to think about a thing is when you're in the moment you're saying it. We've covered curiosity as the fuel for a great conversation. Third one, the person asking the question is in control or is in control of the conversation. So that's an interesting one. I read that the first time I had to think about it. So yeah, person asking the questions is in control of the conversation, which I'd be interested. Tell us a little bit more about that, Kyle, because that isn't like, you know, about dominating or controlling the conversation. It's about making sure that that intention is it doesn't go off track, I guess. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, so like, let's you know, so like, we could do a quick little experiment here. So you know, Craig, where did you last go on your when was the last time you took a vacation? Where'd you go?
Finland.
Oh, Finland. You know, I've heard so much great things about Finland. I've never been there before. But you know, there was this, guy known as the Flying Finn. He was, you know, back in the 1940s and 50s, he like, you know, he did like these epic workouts that, you know, he ran all these races, da 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 da, you know, and
yeah.
you know, he was, you know, all this stuff. So right there, I'm dominating the conversation.
Yeah.
But you know, are you willing to try this again?
Go on. Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Craig, where was the last place you went on your vacation?
Finland.
Finland. Oh, when was that?
February.
February. February of this year?
Yep. February this year.
What took you there?
Just a place, some place I'd never been to and I wanted to go to. Really fancied it. And yeah, it was unusual and very cold.
Very cold. Yeah, Finland's kind of in northern Europe. Did you take your family?
My wife and I went. My kids are grown up now, so yeah, they can make their own. They can pay for their own vacations.
Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and hit pause
yeah.
there.
It's, yeah,
like but you, like, you see, like, you know, instead of, you know, this is something that we fall into this trap of all the time is that, you know, we ask a question and then we proceed, you know, we go on to just say, give our version of what we think is
yes.
true.
It's, yeah.
You know, so what we did there was, you know, I mean, and this was a, you know, awkward conversation if we were sitting down over a beer or something, or,
yeah.
it would be a lot more, you know, a lot more interesting, you know, we'd get, you know, dig in a little bit more, all that. But, you know, me asking questions and, you know, just being curious about, all that, you know, can, you know, it builds that connection. It builds that
yeah.
rapport.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause here's the thing, like if I state something to you, I can be wrong.
Yeah.
But if I ask a question, I'm just finding out more information.
Yeah.
And then I can actually genuinely help you along the way.
Yes.
So like if I'm, you know, so if we take this to a business context, you know, if I'm asking questions, you know, about, okay, like who is your, you know, who's your target customer? Who is your ideal customer? Like what, you know, in the past, what, you know, what has worked before? Like, why do you think that worked? You know, this, that, all the other, like, it's actually putting me, the person asking the questions, in control of that conversation. And I'm able to, you know, collect all of that information by, you know, being curious, by, you know, by asking all these questions so that I can actually, you know, I'm gathering context so that I can then, when
be helpful. Yeah.
I can actually genuinely be
yeah.
helpful to the yeah. other person.
Yeah. 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 No. And I think it's an interesting one because it's something, you know, as a host on the podcast, I'm always conscious that, you know, as the host, people aren't listening in necessarily to listen to me. They're listening to my, you know, my guests. It's my guest that add the real value. So the challenge as a host, and you'll know this yourself from, you know, your own podcasting, assuming your show is an interview show, is you want to kind of control the conversation, but you also, well, you know, you want to kind of create the guide rails for the conversation, but not, you know, not be the focal point of the conversation, because you're really there just to draw out the knowledge and the wisdom and the kind of the expertise of the guest. So whilst you're in control of the conversation, it doesn't mean you are in control of the person on the other side of the conversation. You're not trying to control them. You're just trying to make sure that there is some shape, so we're achieving our shared objective together, which is for you to, you know, kind of tell your story and your principles, and for me to, you know, create a show that's interesting to my guests, my listeners. So yeah, it's about achieving that shared objective rather than, you know, coercing the person into saying what you want them to say, sort of thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Excellent. So the last one, which seems to me a kind of a good life lesson, whether it's in the context of a conversation or not, is that people only do things for their reasons, not yours. And I've thought about this over the years, because I'm always kind of, you know, even the most altruistic of people, when you kind of drill back why, they're doing it, you know, for a reason that makes them feel good or satisfies one of their kind of personal objectives. It happens to be that they manifest that by being, you know, really kind or generous and helpful or benevolent. So tell me a little bit about more your perspective on that, though.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, because look, at the end of the day, like, you know, we all do things for our reasons. I joke all the time that every single person's favorite radio station is WIIFM. What's in it for me?
And so
if we as communicators, if we as, you know, salespeople or people that want to influence or help others, if we can find out what matters to the person on the other side of the table, on the other side of the microphone, you know, anything along those lines, if we can find out what matters to them, you know, we can use our curiosity, we can use the questions that we ask, we can use all of these things, you know, to find out, and we can genuinely help them achieve what they want to achieve. And ultimately what that does is that helps us achieve what we want to achieve. Because then, you know, now we're working alongside each other, as opposed, you know, we're working alongside each other to overcome a challenge, as opposed to, you know, winning or losing, because how often, you know, in business, have you come out of there thinking, I won that, or I lost that.
Yeah.
And it's actually not really helpful.
So if
we can keep in mind that, you know, people only do things for their reasons and not yours. Like, I'm not going to get you as a podcast host to bring me on the show, so that I can, you know, spew about, you know, my athletic career and, you know, get a whole bunch of followers and all that. Or gain, you know, clients or speaking engagements or something like that. You know, you're running this, you know, podcast on, you know, communication and, you know, effectiveness and all that. And, you know, I have a desire and a dream to help spread that message. So, like, the two of us work together to achieve that.
Absolutely.
So it's again, like, you know, you as the podcast host is, you know that, okay, I have, you know, Kyle has a story to tell, and he actually has some, you know, seems like he has some decent ideas. And then me on this side, okay, Craig has got this awesome platform, and he's essentially trying to do the same thing that I'm trying to do. He's just trying to help people elevate their conversations so that they can be successful in business and life.
Yeah,
man, we can work together alongside each other to help people elevate their conversations and, you know, achieve more, you know, influence people, you know, in positive ways, get more sales, get more, views, followers, or, you know, help, provide for their families better, anything along those lines, you know, all through the art of communication.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. No, I think that's a really, really, powerful point there. And, you know, kind of, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, reflecting on that kind of win-win. What are they trying to get? What am I trying to get? And how do we make sure there's a meeting of minds there? And there's a sort of, we can achieve those common objectives together is a really good frame to go into any conversation, I think.
Exactly.
Even, you know, one that may seem quite transactional. It's kind of that exchange of value is really, really important, I think. And like goes, you know, run through that whole thread of all of those cornerstones is that sort of intentionality, that conscious knowledge of what I'm trying to get out of the conversation and what the other, and understanding what the other person wants as well. And being able to, you know, use the curiosity and the questioning to be able to get to that point is really, really important.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, look, we're running out of time a little bit, and as an athlete, you'll know the importance of getting over the line and within the kind of target time. Just as there are a few questions I'd just like to finish off with, Kyle.
Sure.
But I would imagine for someone in your position, it's easy to assume that all the kind of amazing things you know about, you know, kind of determination and resilience and, you know, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to record podcasts so you can train later. What are one or two life lessons, Kyle? It doesn't have to be related to the, you know, the kind of conversation framework that we've been talking about. It's really more kind of just getting into the head of an elite athlete, because that's something that I guess we rarely get the chance to do. And, you know, we kind of observe you guys doing your amazing stuff and yet we kind of never really understand what that kind of must be like in terms of dedication and hard work. One or two life lessons, Kyle. I know that's easy to ask and hard to maybe kind of conjure up, but you must guess to ask this all the time. Give us some pearls of wisdom, Kyle. Something that's kind of maybe anchor stones of your kind of belief and your own kind of values that have just kind of pulled you through even the kind of darkest times, maybe.
Yeah, no. As you said, I get this question a lot, and it's remarkably simple and remarkably complicated at the same time. I always tell people, look, we overcomplicate things a lot in our lives. So, you know, I like to tell people, you know, keep it stupid simple, do simple well, and do simple better, and that's what I do as an athlete. You know, success is essentially just consistency over time.
Yeah.
Like if you put in the work long enough, if you put in enough work over a long period of time, you're going to find success. You know, if you're intentional about that work that you put in. And it's just, again, it's keeping it stupid simple, doing simple well, and doing a simple a little bit better.
Yeah, excellent. No, that thing, that's a really, really good, really good tip, I think. And I think you're right, particularly in our modern world, it's very easy to get kind of engrossed with everything that makes life far more complicated and get obsessed with things that really don't matter. I think that's a really good
point. It really is very easy to get too in the weeds on stuff.
Absolutely. Well, look, Kyle, let's find out about a little bit more. Just tell us a little bit more before we wrap up about your book and also your podcast. Because you mentioned that a couple of times now, and we'll put some links into the show notes for both. Do you want to just give us a quick heads up about them though, please?
Sure. Yeah. So my first book is, you know, Discovering a Life Without Limits, How Cancer Took My Sight, Blindness Gave Me Vision, and the Mountains Let Me Live. And I released it back in 2021, and it just details my life growing up and kind of gives a framework of, you know, my story. And, you know, it gives people an idea of like where I came from and how I found my way to, you know, the sport of triathlon, the sport of this high performance world.
Yeah.
And it lays the foundation, for, you know, essentially it was my journey of how I discovered, how to live without limits.
Yeah.
And, you know, and since, you know, and since then it's been exploring, those limits and pushing those limits further. So, you know, I mean, I personally think it's a great book, but yeah, that's for the readers to decide.
Yeah.
And then my podcast, I launched at the beginning of 2023. I was I was going through, I had shoulder surgery at the beginning of 2023, and I had some time on my hands, and, you know, a lot of people, when I was growing up, people were like, "Ah, oh, you've got a face made for radio, so let's so you should do radio broadcasting or something." And well, today's radio is podcasting, and I love podcasts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have way too many on my podcast app and all that. And I was like, well, I really enjoy speaking with people, and I kind of want to practice what I preach when it comes to conversation and yeah. practicing, conversational excellence. And so what better way to do that than to launch a podcast and kind of explore and see if how good could I get at being on the other side of the mic. And so my podcast is Kicking It with the K-Train. And what I do is I have conversations with people that have helped me keep an eye on my vision.
Yeah.
Because I do think that it is really important. Like, because if we don't know where we're going or where we want to go, it's really hard to get there. And we have to surround ourselves with people that have, we have to surround ourselves with people that help point us in the right direction and help us along our journey. So, I've recorded over 50 episodes of, people just from, my life, who have had just a massive influence and impact on my life. And, and now we're going to start, going down the, once we get to the other side of the Paralympic Games, it's going to be, going down the road of, how we can now help other people, keep an eye on their vision. And so that's the theme is having conversations, with people who have helped, not just me keep an eye on my vision, but how we can now, extend that out and help you all out there keep an eye on your vision.
Fantastic. Well, that's wonderful, Kyle. So thank you so much. We'll put a link there in the show notes. I'm going to put a link into your podcast, your book, and also your LinkedIn profile, if that's okay, so people can
that'd be great.
Yeah.
Please, shoot me a request or a follow on LinkedIn, on Instagram. I'm all over the social media platform, so feel free to reach out anytime. Let's keep this conversation going. I love talking with cool people.
Oh, thank you. And unfortunately, the show is going to be going after your exploits in Paris. So it'll be retrospectively looking back and seeing how you did in the results, I guess, and hopefully where you were on the podium, hopefully near as close to the top as possible. Any predictions? Are you confident going into the Paralympics, or are you kind of keeping your cards close to your chest?
Look, a podium would be absolutely incredible. You're over there in the UK, the guy that's been the best, the guy that is the absolute best in the world in our sport of visually impaired men's triathlon is British, and he is the odds on gold medal favorite.
Okay.
There's a couple of really outstanding French athletes, and home games for them, it's going to be hard to knock them off the podium, but my goal for the Paralympics is I'm just trying to leave no stone unturned and prepare myself as best as possible. I've been on the podium before at high level races, and I think the race is going to be exciting. It's going to be dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of the most competitive events of the entire Paralympic Games. And so I'm just excited to be in there and mixing it up with all those guys. And we're going to let the cards fall where they may. I've been anywhere from first to sixth or seventh at any given race. So We'll see what happens, and when this show comes out, it'll be history, and you'll know the results. So,
well, I wish you all the best, Kyle, and I hope all that dedication and hard work pays off. So, just remains to say thank you so much for your inspirational story, for everything you've shared with us today, and good luck in Paris.
Well, thank you very much, Craig.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you've got any ideas for episodes you'd like us to cover in future, you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can use the feedback form at engagingic.com. If you're not already subscribed to the show via your podcast platform, please do so. And if you could leave a review for us, that would be absolutely fantastic. We have links to other episodes at engagingic.com. All of our previous episodes are available there. And if you're interested in our visual communication services, our big pictures, our learning maps, our explainer videos, and also our live graphic recording, please get in touch with us again at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. Thank you.